All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. Good morning. It is February the 5th, 2024. Monday morning. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's super awesome wherever you are at. It is really a great day. Got up this morning to a, you know, frosty, chilly morning, but the sun's come up and melting it all away. And I think it's going to be a great day. Got up this morning, had a few things I wanted to try to take care of. One of them being washing my car. I know that sounds kind of silly, but sometimes it's weird. My car sometimes can represent my life, right? And, you know, I can remember times in my life where my car was an absolute disaster, and my life was an absolute disaster. And for me, at least, one of the things I try to do is try to not let the rest of my life become a disaster so that it doesn't hopefully lead the rest of my life to being a disaster. I hope that's not too many disasters in there, but it is funny. And one of the things I've always tried to do, even since I got sober, was try to take care of my freaking car. It's crazy. You know, I can have, on the outside, you know, to the people around me, look fine, right? Oh, you're looking like you're doing well, right? But these little things in my life start to unravel a bit. And there's three of them, right? My house, my car, and my salon. And, you know, over time, just because I got sober, right, just because I've gotten better doesn't always mean that there aren't other things that I need to maintain and clean up as well. And one of them was always my car and my house and my work. And I've been trying to do better. I've shared many, many times on this podcast the struggles I have, whether it's the mailbox, keeping the salon clean, taking care of this, taking care of that. You know, it's all a bit of a challenge sometimes and can be a little bit overwhelming. And the car is a great example of that, right? You know, I can remember back in the day, my car would be so messy and I would just lose hope in my car. My car would sort of be like my life. It's too messy to fix. And, but I try not to live that way today. So, you know, long story short, I wanted to get up this morning. And in fact, listen, my car is actually looking pretty good. Right, it's pretty clean inside. My biggest problem with the inside of my car is my kids. And I have put down my foot. I laid down the law. And I told them, do not leave anything in this freaking car or I'm going to flip out. And flip out I probably wouldn't do. But for some reason, they've gotten the message. They've been better. They don't leave too many things in my car. I got up this morning and sort of picked it. It's usually my daughter's slippers. My daughter has, she's like a walking junk store, and everywhere she goes, 90 things go with her and 70 come back. That means 20 things got left somewhere. A lot of them usually are in my car or in my wife's car. So this morning it was really just about picking up a few things. I gave it a quick vacuum, and then I was going to head down and see if I could get the outside of it washed, because really the challenge has been we had snow, and when we get snow, we get salt, and the car is covered in salt. It looks like crap. So I just thought, listen, I'm going to be an adult this morning. I've got nothing really going on. And I thought I would try to take care of it. As silly as that sounds, it is a big deal. Went down to the, you know, got up, right, did all the shit, got in my car, went down to the car wash, and it looked like about 70 other people had the same idea.
I am just a cowboy, lonesome on the trail. A starry night, campfire light. The coyote call and the howling winds wail. So I'll ride out to the old sundown.
Thin Lizzy, cowboy song. Great, great, great. Great song to start the day. Little reminder. I often wonder what kind of cowboy I would have been, right? A gunslinger, bartender, bar drunk, bum. I don't know. Interesting world back in those days. But yeah, it's funny, you know, and I don't know, I've probably talked about this, but, you know, my life, the behavior and the shit that I used to do in my life reflected in how I appeared and how I took care of myself, right? You know, I've shared before, I lived in a one-bedroom, a shitty apartment, drove a shitty car, had a shitty job, and had a shitty outlook, right? It was all shit. And, you know, it was okay to look sloppy, right? It was okay to be trashy because I was, right? I lived that sort of life. I never had achieved much and sort of got used to where I was at, right? And, I mean, you know, I wasn't horrible, right? But I wasn't dusting stuff. I wasn't cleaning, right? I was picking things up. I was managing the shit, but there was no deep cleaning. There was no, you know, I had no pride in myself. I had no pride in the things that I owned. You know, when I came to this state from the West Coast, I bought a truck full of fucking tweaker crap and a shitload of bad memories, right? And sort of lived in those for a long time, right? I just kind of drug over the bad life I was living there and brought it over here and just sort of continued. And it was really, it was bad. But like I said before, I was just fine with it, right? And so, you know, when I was given the opportunity to address some of my behaviors in my life, shine a little light on my real position, this self-centered side of me that I wasn't aware of, you know, and finally put the cork in the jug, right, and finally stopped drinking and doing the drugs and all that shit, I still had to try to figure out, like, my shit, if I'm going to get better, I might as well act better, right? I might as well try to do a little bit better. And I was living in that apartment, which my uncle owned, and I'm, you know, thank you. I'm grateful that he gave me a place to live, right? But one of the first things that I did was move, right? I got sober and I moved, right? I immediately wanted to improve this condition. And, you know, and I got rid of a lot of memories and a lot of junk and history and the stuff from the past and had a fresh start at a new house. And I just remember, because I remember as a kid, before I ever got involved in any of this junk, you know, I was very clean, right? I kept my room very clean. You know, I would have moments, but, you know, I was very particular. I liked things a certain way. And I used to take care of my stuff, right? I've talked about, man, my walls were my Facebook. And I dedicated all four walls and the ceiling to all of my favorite rock bands, whether it was Eddie Van Halen, Angus Young, Kiss, whatever it was. That was how my life was. That was our Facebook in the 80s. Come in my room and look at my world, right? My buddy John was the same way. And we used to put all of these cool pictures up on the walls of Judas Priest. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved being in my room as a kid, and I loved taking care of it. I had a, you know, back in the 80s, I had a TV in my room. I had a stereo, right? I even had a little mini fridge. And it was my oasis, right? My man cave. And I loved it. And when I finally, you know, and even when I was living with my parents out in California, you know, I wasn't into a lot of the shit that I would finally end up into early on. And so I used to take care of my room. And then, you know, I started heading down this interesting path. And, you know, it is what it is. But in the end, I'd sort of lost all hope. I know when my brother and I moved into an apartment together when we first moved to this state. And what a shithole it was. Oh, my God. We did not take care of anything. We had this, like, I think we lived on the third floor. We had a patio, a deck patio, right? And we had cats. We had a kitty litter box. And I remember there was so much shit in the kitty litter box. It was disgusting. And I'm like, what? I've just turned into, because I was like, that was at the lowest, I felt like the lowest point of my life, right? That was the beginning of the end. You know, I'd come here, not really working much out in California, came here, definitely fueled by chemical drugs and junk like that out in California, came here, that did not exist. You know, not only was I coming off of that stuff, but I really turned everything into, I replaced all of that with alcohol. I had a job that I worked all night. I was getting up in the morning and drinking. It just was a spiral all downward and downward, and it was bad. And I just didn't care about anything. I didn't care about my apartment. I didn't care about my life. It was disgusting. I was eating my dinner with these freaking chicken wings out of the you know, the cooler at a gas station, right? That's how I was eating. It was dark. It was a dark point in my life, and you know, but it got me to where I got. And when I finally got out of that place, I wanted to start taking care of myself better. And so that was the first thing I started doing. And it's tough, right? It is tough, especially, you know, I can be great at 80% of everything, right? But it's that last 20% where I struggle. And that usually falls under my car and my work, you know. Luckily, I have an amazing wife. She's good at managing our house, and I'm good at just coming to work and working, right, and making some money. I give her all the money, and then we just sort of manage it. But she takes care of the house. I'm not good at that, right? And so, I mean, I guess if it was my only job, I would be very good at it, but it's not, right? I can't do everything. Nobody can, right? Or maybe we could, and we just can't anymore. I don't know. But I'm not comfortable doing my work and taking care of the house. I probably would find some sort of resentment, and nobody wants that. And so we have had a, you know, we've decided what we do, and it's working, right? And so I don't have to worry about that. But I still have to manage my car and my salon, and, you know, those can be tough. And so, long story short again, I wanted to take care of that stuff, and I didn't quite get it done. I did get the inside. I Windexed it. Windexed it. Looks fresh, but I want to get the salt off my car. And so, but yeah, that's you know, that's sort of what's going on this morning. I don't have a whole lot going on today. I am off today. It is Monday. I'm going to try. I got a meeting to go to tonight. I'm going to go have breakfast with my dad. He just called. In fact, I had started the podcast, and he called, so I had to start over. And he's like, "You coming? You said you might go to the Crystal." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to be there." So I'll go get him and hang out with him for a bit this morning, and then, you know, go home and chill. But, you know, the last, I'll just talk about it. You know, I'm sort of having this, I guess I'm, you know, I've shared about the last couple podcasts. I don't know what it is, but one of the interesting things in my life is YouTube, right? And YouTube, you can really go down quite a few rabbit holes, right? And I enjoy YouTube. I like going down the rabbit holes. I like learning about things. But the more and more I've been, especially this past week, man, I talked about the podcast, this real revelation that a lot of these things that I have been taught, and this is for me, right? Your journey is your journey, right? But for me, and I guess as I've gotten older, I see it more, and I think that happens to us. But these narratives, right, these created narratives that sort of keep us in line, and they're all fueled by fear, right? And I had no idea, right? But the older I get, the more I see, right? And you know, a lot of these things have been created by fear. And I'm at a point in my life I'm trying to remove fear, right? I don't want to be afraid of things. And I'm just becoming very, it's like the curtain's getting pulled back more and more. And this whole thing about these tablets and this stuff that was written, you know, and how the Bible was made, whether it's, I mean, I'm assuming it's true. I mean, there's always a chance that it's not true, but it is interesting when you learn about new things. And now I've been lately watching stuff about the moon. I'm like, God damn, I could see myself absolutely going cuckoo, right? I could see myself going nuts. And the interesting part of it is that as a person that's sober, and I've been talking about it in the last, you know, the first three steps, really this coming into something, sort of realizing the real problem I have, which is a spiritual malady, right? I'm all about self and not about humility, and that path will not end well. And when I came to this program and started to understand, you know, the first three steps to admit, right, and then came to believe over time, right, and then turned our will, you know, the actual action of it, I guess I'm on board at that point, but it's all really based around this idea of this higher power, a God of our understanding. You know, I've shared the search I've had for God, right, and trying to figure it out, and then trying to come to this new position where the less I search, the more I get, right? And then I had this conversation with my dad about religion last night, and I'm like, I'm not a religious person. It's more about spirituality. Spirituality is religion. I'm like, they're not the same for me, right? You know, there's this spirituality for me is this choice, right? I can either do what self wants or I can take a humble position, right? Self, probably not feeling great afterwards, humble position, you know, hopefully feeling at peace, you know, staying in the moment. It's all very interesting, right? But as I learn more of these people talking about how, you know, there was no God, there is no Jesus, it was all these, you know, the... I never can remember these damn people's names, but this ancient civilization that was here and Anunnaki, I think that's what they're called, the Anunnaki, right? And they, these brothers, and how the world was created and why it was created and why these things happened, and it's all in this ancient text. And I'm like, if this shit is true, you know, what do I feel, right? What am I trying to achieve, right? And it's just bizarre. Right, it's really given me. It doesn't make me want to pick up a drink, right? But I've always thought, you know, as I've gotten older, I've always felt like, listen, do the best you can, right? Try to take care of your family. Try to have a humble position with God, right? And you know, try not to be so selfish, and try to be there for others. And hopefully, you know, we get to heaven, right? There's always this heaven, and. What does a self-centered person want more than a place to go where it's just amazing, right? And so I'm starting to see how these narratives, they really feed into this self-centered side of us, right? You do this and you get this, right? Have this and you get this. And I love getting things, right? But as a person that's trying not to be that way, you know, then I'm supposed to not really care. It's like, well, I don't want to serve self, so I'll get what I get. It's just crazy. And what it's telling me is that, you know, I have to try to do the best that I can to not get caught up into that position or that person that I was, you know, back in 96, 95, 94, 93, all those years, right, where I was serving self and I got myself into such a jam, right? And today, you know, I get these opportunities to go down these self-centered on-ramps, right? And... you know, I try to, you know, I have to think about it, right? Do I want to get into this place? A lot of it happens driving, right? People will do things, you know, I don't know if I shared about this, but, you know, I almost, the other day I almost got freaking killed. And I don't know if I'd have died, but I would have definitely been suffering for sure. I made a right on a yellow, which I had the, you know, it was yellow. It was like, it wasn't even, had nothing to do about the people coming from the left. It was about the people coming across the intersection. And it was yellow, and I just made the right. And there was nobody coming. It was fine. And I pulled, made the right turn, and then got on the road. And this dude flew by me on my right side. He must have run the red light, I guess. I don't even know where the freaking guy came from. But he went by me about 70 miles an hour. And I'm like, I did not see this guy. I don't even know where he came from, right? And, you know, I was like, this son of a bitch, right? And then I'm like, I'm going to chase it. I'm going to follow him. I shouldn't use the word chase, but I'm going to follow this guy, right? And so I start following. Well, he goes by me, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And I'm sort of like, eh. But then I'm like, you know what? Son of a bitch, right? All of a sudden, self shows up, and I'm hitting the gas, and I'm after this guy, right? And he's making a left, and I'm like, shit, I'm going to follow him. And then I had this moment. I'm like, why? Right. What's the point? You're not fist fighting anybody, right? You don't want to get shot. You definitely don't want to get beat up. You know, what are you doing, right? And it's self, it's ego, right? I'm going to do something. And I just, you know, I pulled back over to the right lane so I could go straight, and I just let him go. And I was like, you know, be true to yourself, Tom. You're not that guy. Stop acting like that guy. You're not a tough guy. You're not beating people up. You're not dragging people out of their cars, right? You're not that guy. Whatever ego's telling you are, it's not true. Get back in the right lane and drive home and go be with your family and shut the fuck up, right? And but it's this, you know, these, I mean, maybe 20 years ago I'd have followed him, right? And I do want to be better. And what does that in the end give me? You know, peace, right? It doesn't give me a one-way ticket to heaven, right? I've said before, I believe everything is God. I believe everything is love, right? This is a new thing for me, new after, you know, working these steps and trying to remove fear and all this shit. You know, when I am at a place where I'm not afraid, right? Because if I had gone and followed this guy and gotten into an altercation or done something, then I would have had something to be afraid of, right? Retaliation. Maybe I do something that I regret, right? All of a sudden you're doing anger management. I don't know what it is, But you live with that shit for a long time down the line. And if I can just cut myself off and say, hey, your ego's, you know, out of control, check yourself, right? I can live in peace. I don't have to be afraid today. And, you know, to me, that is, I don't know what God is, but that's a good spot to be in, right? It doesn't make me great, right? Just because I didn't follow a guy and get into some altercation, that doesn't make me great. That makes me normal. Right? I've said it. It takes a lot of work for me to be normal, right? People that act like that, people that behave like that aren't normal. They're self-centered, inconsiderate of others, including their family and self, right? I see it all the time, people's mugshots in the paper. This one guy, I just recently, you know, was arrested for firing a gun, right? And he was at a bar. It was like 1:30 in the morning, and he started popping off rounds. And I'm like, yeah, I could see myself doing that, right? Even though I don't own a gun and I'm not into guns, but I'm sure that guy did not go to that bar that night thinking he was going to start popping off rounds. But that alcohol, that devil sauce, that self-centered side of us shows up, and we start making decisions and reacting with the next day full of regret, right? I can imagine this guy the next day was like, I am so sorry, right? I did not want to do that. I don't know what got over me. But he's going to live with the repercussions of his behavior for a hot minute. If not, you know, being in jail for a long time, fines, all that money. And all of that is the fuel that fear loves, right? It's all fear. And, you know, when I'm watching these stories about the Anunnaki, right? The first people and how they, you know, and this scripture that was written in these texts and how these books in the Bible was created and how, according to these people, the books were created to create fear and control. And I watch it and I go, absolutely, it totally makes sense. I would imagine back then we needed some control, right? But it's I see it everything now today. It's like, you know, this nuclear threat, right, with China. You know, I've talked about my I'm a big fan of Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to me is a normal human being, right? Like him or don't like him. I'm not sure why anybody would not like him. I could see why I would absolutely like him. I know that there's people that have said things, you know, he's an anti-vaxxer, whatever. But he's just seems like a normal person, right? But and I've listened to him, and he said, nobody wants a nuclear war. China doesn't want a nuclear war. We don't want a nuclear war. Russia doesn't want a nuclear war. There's no money in nuclear war. It's all fear-based bullshit, you know, and it really gets people like my dad. Right, I told him last night, nobody's having a nuclear war, Dad. I hope not. Right, nobody's having one. Now, if we have one, I screwed up. But I really don't think, you know, like he says, we want to battle economically with different countries. Right, that's how our countries make money. We do things, right, and we sell and buy or whatever it is. I'm not an economist, but you know, but this fear, this constant fear of this nuclear war, it's always something. Right, always some fear-based bullshit that's created a narrative that sort of directs us in a certain way. Now we see the border, right? I lived in San Diego for a long time, and every morning I would wake up and there'd be about 5, 6, 7, 10, you know, Mexicans standing on the corner. And at 7:30 in the morning, there was probably hundreds, right? And by 8:30 in the morning, they were gone, right? They would be picked up and work would be done, and then we'd get paid, and then they would get dropped off and go back to wherever they went. And it was a lot of people loved it, right? But now this threat of thousands and millions of people coming across the border, which, I do agree with, right? That does seem like a lot. I get it. But listen, that's how people came here in the first place, right? People didn't come to the United States because they were wealthy and doing well, right? The wealthy and doing well where they were doing it, and there wasn't anything left for the rest of the people, so they left. They came here to find a piece of land, right? A hope, a dream. It wasn't all white people. It wasn't all Americans, right? They didn't even exist at the time. It was the people that had lost hope, and they wanted a chance, and they came here, right? And that's what built our country. The Italians, the Polish, the Irish, whoever it was, but that was the backbone to building this country. And then if you really couldn't get it together, then you headed west, right? You really had nothing. You got a wagon and you load your family and you headed to the west. And those are the people, you know, those are the ones that took it on, right? They went across facing unfortunately, a lot of times death, right? You came across the Indians and through the Midwest part of the country, and it was not good. And they were selling land. They were selling land in the United States to people over across in Europe. They would come over here and go to pick up their land, and they'd find out it was the middle of, you know, the Cherokees or whatever it was. And so just an interesting, interesting time. And, you know, I am not a – I do think we have to do something with the border, right? People want to come across. They have to be done – it has to be done legitimately. But this only seems to become a topic when it becomes an election year, right? And, you know, we're starting to see there are some solutions. Some people don't want to try to put them in place because that would affect their popularity as far as elections. It's just, it's crazy. And I'm just sort of sick of all the fear. And I guess it's just how the world rolls, but it's unfortunate because we end up, you know, a lot of people become victims. They blame it on everything else and there's no accountability. And then they just sort of suffer, right? They just sort of suffer. And it's unfortunate, right? Because we don't want to suffer. We want to have, I want to have a try to have a good life. And I have a great life, right? I'm watching TV and the whole world's coming apart. And then I turn the TV off and my world's, the world's fine, right? I was telling my wife, listen, if we want to get away from this fear message and all this shit, just turn off our telephone, right? Just turn off the phone and stop looking at it. And, but I think we're addicted. I'm addicted to my phone. I know that. And, but it's picking and choosing. And, you know, for me today, I just want to try to have some peace. And, you know, I don't want to give up on the idea of a God, right? I do believe I've never been a fan of religion. I do believe it's organized, right? It's about creating fear and a message. And this guy was saying, how come we don't announce, right? These texts, right? This, you know, sort of this idea that, you know, God isn't really what we think it is, and these certain things aren't what we really think it is. And he's like, because there's a $1 trillion industry in the religion business, right? I don't know what it would be like. And listen, these are just stories. Nobody, there's nothing, you know, you got to have faith, right? You got to believe, right? I still have to do good and try to be the best person that I can be. But, you know, there's stories, right? But there's a lot of people that live their life and behave the way they are because they want to go to heaven and they don't want to go to hell, right? And so if the stories were true, maybe they're not, but if somebody announced, none of this is true, you know, where would our civilization be? Right? Where would we be headed? I sort of feel like that's part of the problem we have today is nobody really fears God. We become selfish, right? And then it's all of a sudden, what I'm not getting, who's getting what, why is this way, why is this unfair to me? And it can be tough. And so, I don't know. Listen, I don't want to make this about politics because it isn't. I don't know shit about anything. But I know how I feel and I know, you know, that I want, I just wish it was better, but maybe this is just the evolution. I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, I cannot believe, you know, however long this planet has been here and people have been on the planet and, you know, how we've matured as people and come through evolution, if that's what we believe, and we get to this point today, you know, February 5th, 2024, and I live here. It was my turn, right? It's my turn to be here at this point, and it just blows my mind because, you know, I could have been here at any point, right? Can you imagine being on this planet 500 years ago, what life was like, or 1,000 years ago, what life was like? Or 10,000 years ago, or 14,000 years ago, when the Younger Dryas, this idea of this flood. Can you imagine being alive then? That was your chance? I'd be pissed, right? Damn it. I get one chance on this planet, and there's a flood, right? So it blows me away. But, grateful today that I'm not drinking, right? And I'm not doing drugs. And hopefully I can and continue to do that and try to be there for the next person and just be, you know, the best person I can be. The best person I can be. What kind of time? Is that too much? If that was too much, I apologize. I'm not here to. It's just weird for me, right? I'm just sort of having this epiphany in my life. I guess it's my age and all that, but it's just the whole freaking thing is just weird. And realizing that my whole life has been based in fear and how strange that is, right? How strange that is. And then I try to figure out what would life be in another way, right? Who knows? It's not worth the thought. All right, well, let me see it. Maybe I'll just read the Daily Reflections, and then I'll get out of here. I got to go get my dad. We're going to go have breakfast. A glorious release, February 5th. The minute I stopped arguing, I could begin to see and feel. Right there, step two, gently and very gradually began to infiltrate my life. I can't say upon what occasion or upon what day I came to believe in a power greater than myself, but I certainly have that belief now. To acquire it, I had only to stop fighting and practice the rest of AA's program as enthusiastically, excuse me, as I could. 12 steps and 12 traditions. After years of indulging in self-will and run riot, step two became for me a glorious release from being all alone. Nothing is so painful or insurmountable in my journey now. Someone is always there to share life's burdens with me. Step two became a reinforcement with God, and now I realize that my insanity and ego were curiously linked. Yeah. To rid myself of the former, I must give up the latter to one with far broader shoulders than my own. Yes. How funny. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Maybe my buddy Matt knew something about that. You know. Yeah, it is. And that's sort of, I think, this is exactly why I have been thinking so much about this stuff this weekend. It's just this, you know, trying to find a relationship with God. Sort of hearing like this is all not really true, but also knowing, and this is what I was trying to explain to my dad, you know, there is spirituality, and he's like, spirituality is religion. I go, I don't think so, right? Spirituality to me is this choice, right? This choice that I can make on everything that I do, you know, whether it's staying sober, working with others, you know, whatever it is, what's behind every decision I make? Is it a self-centered decision, or is it based in humility? And because when I make the right decisions, when I make the humble decisions, right, when I try to stay centered on the beam, I don't have a lot of fear in my life. And when I don't have a lot of fear, I have peace, right? And when I have peace, I'm just content, and I feel like I have a relationship with something higher than myself. When I start making a lot of self-centered decisions, I start to live in fear. And I start to live in regret and shame and dumb shit like that. And then, like my buddy Steve always says, you let go of the hand of God. All right? Hey, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day. I'll catch you later. Bye. I did not know her name. Got my job bustin' Bronx for the rodeo.